Title of the sermon is Joy in the Doctrines of Grace. Joy in the Doctrines of Grace. Congregation, some people say that the Bible teaches Calvinism. Some people say that the Bible teaches Calvinism. And whilst there is a sense in which this is very much true, it can be an unhelpful thing to say because the word Calvinism links back to the 16th century French theologian, pastor, and reformer, John Calvin. As Reformed churches, we are Calvinistic because Calvin, along with others, rediscovered and taught what the scriptures reveal about salvation. Article 515 of the Canons of Dort confirms this about God's preservation of his elect, using the words that we just pronounced or recited together. This doctrine of the perseverance of true believers and saints and of their assurance of it, God has most abundantly revealed in his word for the glory of his name and for the consolation of the godly, and he impresses it on the hearts of believers. Calvinism teaches once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. And the reason that Calvinism teaches this is because that is what the Bible teaches. Now, the label Calvinism can be off-putting and misleading for some people. And a more helpful and perhaps less confusing phrase to replace the word Calvinism is the doctrines of grace. These core scriptural truths about how sinners are saved by the Almighty God through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, are summarized in the acronym that many of us know well, TULIP. And we've been studying these doctrines in our afternoon services over the past 9 months. And today we come to the final sermon. It's number 18 of the series on the subjects discussed by the Canons of Dort. And this last article focuses on this area of the fifth head of doctrine, the perseverance of the saints. And the last article is entitled, "This Doctrine is Hated by Satan, but Loved by the Church." When we started this preaching series 9 months ago, I noted that the name Canons of Dort can seem a bit strange today. The word canon refers not to a large gun-firing metal balls, but to a body of rules, principles, and standards. And that little preposition of the canons of Dort refers to the origin of these rules and principles in Dort, which is a shortened form of the name of the city of Dordrecht in the Netherlands, where a church synod was held between 1618 and 1619. And during the 154 sessions where people met to discuss the views of Jacobus Arminius and his followers, these were compared against Scripture. These followers of Arminius were called the Remonstrants, and the doctrine that they believed is called Arminianism. Arminianism is a system of belief that attempts to explain in ways that can be understood by human beings the relationship between God's sovereignty and mankind's free will, especially in relation to salvation. Whilst Arminianism emphasizes exclusively, really, the responsibility of man, Calvinism emphasizes the sovereignty of God while not denying the responsibility of man. And so the Canons of Dort contain what we know as the 5 points of Calvinism, often expressed in that acronym TULIP: total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. And I've indicated before that the Canons of Dort are actually ordered in the way ULTIP, U-L-T-I-P, and originally the third and fourth heads were combined, so there really were only 4 points in a way, but TULIP is easier to remember. And so we're going to look at this last item in the last section, the perseverance of the saints, under two headings this afternoon: hated doctrines and loved doctrines. So firstly, hated doctrines. So Luke records for us in the book of Acts how Paul and Barnabas had a very rough time in Antioch in Pisidia. That's the site of the modern-day Turkish town of Isparta. Their visit ended with them being driven out of the district by the persecution that arose when unbelieving Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city against Paul and Barnabas. These unbelieving Jews hated the truths that Paul and Barnabas were teaching, as almost the whole city, we read, gathered to hear the word of the Lord. These Jews did not respond well to the gospel doctrine that Paul and Barnabas were faithfully proclaiming. And so when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. What they heard was competition, if you will, against their positions, which challenged them as the religious authorities of the day. We know from Scripture that for those who are perishing, the word of the cross is foolishness, is folly. And so in Acts chapter 13, verses 6 through 41, we see the gospel proclaimed as a means of grace to those who will listen and believe. And that's the principle that we read about earlier in Canons of Dort, Article 317, which is reflected in Canons of Dort, Article 514, that it has pleased God to begin a work of grace through the preaching of the gospel, and so he maintains, continues, and perfects it through the hearing and reading of his word. And so we believe that through preaching, the Lord not only brings people to salvation, but also maintains and strengthens people in their faith. Our text in verse 48 records the response of the non-Jews to the gospel. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. Now, these hated doctrines of Calvinism are anchored in a truth, the truth that's revealed by a single word in our text, and that word is appointed. It means to appoint, to designate, to set aside, to command, to order, or to direct. It was used in the Greek word to draw up the order of battle by military commanders. And this word is found in the perfect tense, which means it's a past action with present ongoing results. So it could be translated that those who came to saving faith were appointed and the appointment remains in force. And here we clearly see in Scripture the P of Tulip. It is God who appoints. He sets aside his people to eternal life. And once his people are appointed to eternal life, they remain appointed to eternal life. And so again, really simply put, once saved, always saved. So we might ask, thinking about the Canons of Dort, why is this doctrine not understood by the flesh? Why is it not understood by people who are using their own logic and thinking? Well, I think at least part of it is because as limited, finite creatures, apart from faith, we cannot understand how God could be so much in control of all things that he can eternally secure his people so that nobody can snatch them out of his hand. The idea, the concept of a being who is so powerful that he can control and order all things is so far above our experience and comprehension. Why is this doctrine hated by Satan? Because it reveals God to be who he is. He is almighty. He is faithful to his covenant promises. His love and mercy and grace are exhibited through this divine appointment that cannot be revoked. This doctrine of the perseverance of the saints teaches us that God is everything that the devil is not. Why then is this doctrine ridiculed by the world? Because the unbelieving world is unwilling to accept the complete sovereignty of God over everything. Naturally, fallen people like you and me, we want to rule ourselves. And if we can't do that, we at least want to be ruled by somebody else like us, another person, another human being, mere human being. Not by God, against whom no counsel can avail and no strength can prevail. To find yourself in the hands of Almighty God is a fearsome thing. And apart from the grace of God, would be the end of us all. God declares himself again and again in the scriptures. We heard it in Isaiah. Declares himself to be sovereign like none other. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done. Saying my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish my purpose. There is nobody like God. And people hate Calvinism. They hate the doctrines of grace because God, the Almighty God, is sovereign over all. Last week I reviewed a biography of Martin Luther, which I held up. It's 446 pages. And I mentioned before the service a much thinner book. It's 122 pages, which I also commend to you by author Greg Ducher, a Calvinistic pastor. And it's entitled Killing Calvinism, How to Destroy a Perfectly Good Theology from the Inside. And Greg Ducher, the Reformed pastor who wrote the book, firstly looks at himself and his own tendency to be a Calvinist first and a Christian second. He considers that at times he finds himself more concerned about a theological system than about the gospel itself. And he uses this very powerful illustration, and I'm quoting from his book. I am concerned that many Calvinists today do little more than celebrate how wonderfully clear their theological windscreen is. But like a windscreen, Reformed theology is not an end in itself. It is simply a window to the awe-inspiring universe of God's truth, filled with glory, beauty, and grace. Brothers and sisters, we need to be careful that others do not come to hate the doctrines of grace because we ourselves live and speak in such a way that we destroy sound biblical theology. And Greg Ducher lists eight ways in which we might unintentionally do this. And he says, by loving Calvinism as an end in itself, by becoming a theologian instead of a disciple, by loving God's sovereignty more than God himself, by losing an urgency in evangelism, by learning only from other Calvinists, by trying to tidy up the Bible's loose ends, by being an arrogant know-it-all, and by scoffing at the hang-ups of others that others have with Calvinism. I found it a challenging book. But instead of that approach, we're called by the Lord to always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks us for a reason for the hope that is in us with gentleness and respect. That's 1 Peter 3:15 to 16. Why are we to do this? Because we love the Lord, who is the author, the divine author of the doctrines of grace, which bring us to our second point this afternoon, loved doctrines. I'd like to begin by asking you a rather peculiar question. Do you love John Calvin? Well, for me, I think I can say yes, I do love John Calvin as a brother in the Lord, although clearly I've never met him. He died on the 27th of May, 1564 in Geneva, Switzerland. But one day in the new heavens and the new earth, I look forward to being able to say bonjour to John Calvin and to enjoy fellowship with an older brother in the Lord who has been greatly used to bring about necessary reformation in the church. Now, I'm personally confident of being able to meet him. Why? Well, because despite my own personal failures and faults, I know that my salvation does not depend on me. It depends upon God, against whom no counsel can avail and no strength can prevail. Canons of Dort, Article 515. I find that deeply comforting and assuring. And I hope and pray that you do also this afternoon as we reflect on these truths. I could truly say that I love Calvinism because I truly love the doctrines of grace, because I truly love the God of grace. The doctrines of grace, you see, are at the very heart of the gospel. Notice again the believing response to the message that Paul and Barnabas proclaimed there in Pisidian Antioch. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. To rejoice is to be cheerful, it's to be happy, to be full of joy. And here it means to rejoice in God's grace. Interesting that the root in the Hebrew, sorry, in the Greek, the root of the word grace is the same as the root of the word translated rejoicing. The doctrines of grace are inherently joyful doctrines because they're grace to those who receive the blessings of the Lord. Now, there's an English word that you and I probably don't use very much at all today, and it's the word dower. Dower. The word dour means relentlessly severe, stern or gloomy in manner or appearance. And there is a popular caricature of Christians who believe the doctrines of grace, and they're called dour Calvinists. Now, don't get me wrong, we should be serious about our doctrine, as the apostles were. But this just does not mean we should be relentlessly severe, stern or gloomy. In fact, quite the contrary. I think that as those who have received and believe in the doctrines of grace, we should be the happiest and most joyful of people, as those who know God's grace, as those who know that God appoints his people to eternal life with the result that they are eternally secure. It's a source of abundant joy to know that nobody and nothing can snatch us out of his hand. And so the canons of Dort, in focusing on the doctrines of grace and focusing upon God's sovereign preservation of his elect, helpfully state that in contrast to those who hate the doctrines of grace, the bride of Christ, on the other hand, has always loved this doctrine most tenderly and defended it steadfastly as a treasure of inestimable value. And so we as Reformed churches are confessional churches who officially agree that the teaching of God's word is faithfully summarized in the creeds and confessions of this church. All of the office bearers in the church vow that they believe that the whole system of doctrine as taught in the creeds and confessions of this church fully agrees with the word of God. The office bearers of this church, of our Reformed churches, commit themselves to defending the doctrines of grace because we believe and maintain that they are of inestimable value. This is what Paul and Barnabas thought and felt. They left Pisidian Antioch, they shook the dust from their feet, which was a Jewish sign of displeasure and dissociation. The hatred of the gospel by some was not to them a source of discouragement, but they took joy in those who were appointed to eternal life, that the Lord had proclaimed that some would be saved and ensured that it would be so. And so we read there in that final verse in our text, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So what's the opposite of being severe and stern and gloomy as Calvinists? It's being gentle and friendly and cheerful in the grace of the Lord. And this is pleasing to the Lord and glorifies him. And so as we come to the end of our series and to the end of the Canons of Dort and to the very last part of the last article, we read, to this God alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be honor and glory forever. Amen. The Canons of Dort, as a theological document which is over 400 years old, glorifies God because it teaches Calvinism, which is the teaching of Scripture regarding the way in which the Lord saves his people. And that's why this church part of the wider bride of Christ, loves these doctrines of grace. Praise the Lord that as a church we have the privilege of being stewards of this treasure, of these precious doctrines. So let's not be careless and go about killing Calvinism, that is, destroying a perfectly good theology from the inside. But let's be joyful and gently and cheerfully proclaim the gospel of God's sovereign grace to others as the Lord gives us opportunity. Amen.